Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all of the B'nai Yisrael. Pashut Pshat, what's this inyan of Vayakel, gathering them? He gathered them to tell them over the halachas, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohenim. Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, he says a different pshat in this Vayakel. He says the Egel, the Cheta Egel, was the extreme opposite of what Matan Torah represented. Because by Matan Torah, Chazal say, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hohar. Vayichan is Loshin Yochid, Ki Ish Echad B'Lei V'Echad. They were all Mi'uchid Al Yidei the Torah. And here the Yerushalmi says in Sanhedrin, it says, Yud Beis Agolim Nas. They made 12 Agolim. It wasn't just one Egel that everybody served one Egel. They made 12 Agolim. The evil Elohus Harbe. They desired many different gods. So Dr. Yankov Lachari, you don't find such a thing by any other nation. Any other nation have their Avodah Zarah. Every nation had its Egel Avodah Zarah, and they all served that. One Avodah Zarah, you find by the Plishtim, they served Dogon, and Moav served Kamoish, they all had their Egel Avodah Zarah. Over here, by the Egel, they made 12 Agolim, it sounds like each Shevet has its own Avodah Zarah. What's the shot? Why do you need many gods? Al Korchach, you see, between the Shvatim themselves, there was also a Pirat. And the one that this served, the other one didn't want to serve. And the one the other one served, this one didn't want to serve. So the Cheta Egel caused a tremendous period in Klal Yisrael. The Mela, now that was over, and now that they were building the Mishkan, Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go back to that Achdus that was found by Maimon Har Sinai, Ki Ish Echad B'lei V'Echad, to put them all together again. And the Mishkan was the first Avodah to gather the nation, to be ma'achad them to one place and to one purpose. Now what's Taka the Pshat? Why is it that the Torah is ma'achad and the Cheta Egel caused period amongst them? Because the Torah was nitten from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zechad. And those that unite and those that dedicate themselves to the purpose of the Torah, it's ma'achad them. The Cheta Egel though was the inner desire of each person. By people, they each have their own gashmiyazdik interests. Mamela, it's a natural thing that they're going to be, you know, they're going to be separated from each other. So who's harvi evil have? So Moshe Rabbeinu now had to gather them together once again to one purpose. Sheishes yomim teyosem melacha. 6 days melacha shall be done. Uvayoyim hashvi yilochem koide shabbos shabbos l'Hashem. Kol oisel by melacha yumas. So you do a famous shaila, not that the Torah tells us that the seventh day we should rest, it should be kodesh, that's understood. But why does the Torah have to tell us sheishes yomim teyosem melacha? Like, what's the chiddush of that? I mean, you're allowed to do melacha. There's no wisdom to do melacha. So what is the Torah telling us with sheishes yomim teyosem melacha? I once heard the Derech Tzachus in a lighter vein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I gave you 6 days to take care of all of your needs. Take care of it in the 6 days so that the 7 days should be kodesh. Don't come into Shabbos and schmoozing about this deal and schmoozing about what you could do and so on. I gave you 6 days. 6 days is plenty. Only one of those 7 days is dedicated to Kedusha. So you have plenty of time to take care of your egg and its rachim so that on the seventh day it could be kodesh. But another pshat, based on something that Rav Hutna says in Pachad Yitzchok on Shabbos. It says, Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos, Toiv Lo Hoidosh LaHashem, Lazamer L'Shimcha El Yom. It's a Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos, and not one word in the Mizmer is mentioned about Shabbos, except for Mizmer Shil Yom HaShabbos. So what exactly does the Mizmer have to do with Shabbos? So Rav Hutna says, the beer is alpi what it says in the Pasuk Bereishis, Kapitel Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. By the siyum of Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, by Yara Lekimis Kol Asher Osa, Hashem saw everything that he did, Vinei Toiv Ma'oi. It means by the Gemara Bria, because Rochu looked at the entire Bria, he saw it was Toiv Ma'oi, and then on Shabbos he rested. So Shabbos is a time to look back at the Bria and to see the goodness of the Bria, to see that it's Tov Ma'ay. Shabbos we rest, and when we rest we think, and when we think we could contemplate and see the goodness of the Bria. So that Midah is given over to a person as well. During the 6 days, we do whatever we have to do. Shabbos, we rest, and you have to look back and thank Hashem. That's Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. Toiv Lohaydus LaHashem L'Zam L'Shem Ch'Elyon. The Tachlis of the Shil Yom HaShabbos, that's when we rest, that's when we think, that's when we look back at the Sheishas Yimei Bereishas, or what happened to us during those Sheishas Yimei Bereishas. And there we're able to give Shvach Vaidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the good things that he did for us. And that's what the Torah is telling us over here. Sheishas Yomim Teyosa Malach. 6 days Malach shall be done. Abru Vayayim HaShvi, that's Shabbos LaShem Eloikecha. Look back and think, and that's the Torah Lohidus LaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm an interesting Maiseh. I don't know how much it has to do with the pshat that I just said. It just came to mind, you know, when I wrote down this pshat. Rabbi Yosef Salman, I was once in Eretz Yisrael, and he met the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Shlomo Bloch, the tzaddik, one of the Lamed Vovniks, Hashem, Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. So he says, tell me a mice about the Chofetz Chaim that nobody knows. I don't want to, you do it like a mice. I want to know a mice about the Chofetz Chaim that nobody knows. Shlomo Bloch said, when the Chofetz Chaim made a siyum on the Mishnah Brura, he made a gigantic gala celebration. He says, he doesn't know where the Chofetz Chaim got the food from. But every day, Sunday, they celebrate the Chelik Aleph of Mishnah Brura. Monday, Chelik Beis, Tuesday, Chelik Gimel, and so on. Every day, they were Talmid HaChomim, they came in, and they spoke in learning, they spoke over halachas, they mamish shmuz durch, there's plenty of food, medals, things. So, the third day, Tuesday, was Chelik Gimel, which is Shabbos, and Dalit is also, and then, at the end of the week, Chelik Vav was on Erev Shabbos, and fine, they finished, and the scene was over with. Came Shabbos, and the Chofetz Chaim made another scene. He's again celebrating. So they asked him, my hi, we already finished all the chalakim. So he said, he's celebrating the chalak of Shabbos. Favos. So Shabbos came to him in a cholam with a taina. Are you talking that my chalak you celebrate during the week? So Mimela, now he's celebrating it on Shabbos. Philly Plot. Shabbos came to him in a cholam, what that means, a malach, I don't know. With a taina, that it deserves to be celebrated on Shabbos. Okay. V'hamalacha hoyso dayim, and the malacha was enough. Last l'chol hamalacha, last hoyso v'hoyso. There was enough materials to do all the malachas on the Mishkan v'hoyso. So it's a famous question that the Mefarshim ask, that these two words dayim v'hoyso are a contradiction. If you had just enough, then you didn't have left over. If you had left over, then that's more than enough. Then the word dayim doesn't apply. So what does it mean, v'hamalacha was dayim v'hoysa? So Rashi's aiming on this. And Rashi says that not only did they have dayim, not only did they have enough, but they also had v'hoysa. It's like a loizu avzu kind of a thing. Not only did they have enough for what they did, but there was even left over. I saw a Mari de Kipshat. Ki Yodua. It's a Maisa Shahayu of Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner had a Meshulach going around collecting for his yeshiva. And the Meshulach told him it was getting difficult, and it would be more efficient if we get a horse and wagon. I can go around easier, and it'll be much more time efficient, and so on. So they got a horse and wagon. Rav Chaim was masking. The Meshulach pulls up to the home of a Gvir. The Gvir comes out. He looks at the horse and wagon. He didn't look pleased. He said, that's yours? He said, no, it's the yeshiva's. I'm representing the yeshiva. Fine. So he makes a pitch to the Gvir for a donation. And the Gvir gave considerably less than what he usually gave. So when Meshulch went back to Rav Chaim, he gave him a whole cheshbon. He told him this Meshulch usually gives more. For some reason, he gave less now. So I said, when I see him, I'll speak to him. So for sure enough, he met him. And he asks him, what happened this year you gave less? He said, I saw this year the yeshiva bought a horse and a wagon. I don't want my money to go feed the horses. I usually gave money to feed the yeshiva bachrim. But now, he says, I don't want them to feed the horses. So Chaim told him, he says, in Mishkan there were a lot of donations. How do they know which gold to use for the Oren, for the Kapoyres, the Helix, the Zach, and which gold to use as a tzipui for other things, for the Krushim, which was less, and which gold to use put in the treasury? Terez says the Bitzala was able to be Lachshev Machshavis. He was able to tell with which Machshavah the particular thing was given. Somebody that Mamish gave Belev Sholem, that was used for the Kapayrus, for the Aron, for the holiest purposes in the Mishnah. Someone that gave with less Machshavah, you know, it ended up for the lesser things, and sometimes it always ended up in the treasury. They didn't make anything of it at all. He says, if you give Belev Sholem, your money's going to end up feeding the yeshiva bar. If you don't give Belev Sholem, it'll end up feeding the horses. That's what Rav Chaim told him. It's, you see from Rav Chaim, the Lefidah Machshavah, that's what they used it for. So the Torah says over here, I saw this in the Sefer, Mipi Svarim, the Sefer. The Torah is telling us over here, HaMalacha HaYisadayim V'HaYisir, that enough Machshavah Torah to make Kama Arayinus. In other words, they didn't have anything extra. There was nothing extra B'Mitziyas, there was nothing extra in the physical donations. They had exactly enough, it was Dayim. As far as the Machshava goes, there was Hoyser, that even the lesser Kalim were made with the gold of Machshava that was right for the Aron. So they could have made many Aronis with the Machshavas that were given. So the Hoyser was going on the Machshava, not on the Etzim donations. That's the way he says, I'll pee this Rav Chaim V'lozhin. Dayim V'Hoyser. Now, on this by Hamalacha Hoyser Dayim, L'chol Hamalacha Lasa Yisoyseva Hoyser, Rav Yaakov points out something very interesting. He says, take a look, the Chavivus HaMitzvah for the Mishkan. How much silver and gold and precious stones were donated and were invested in this Mishkan. And how many months there were Omel V'Yogeya in making it. They worked on it very diligently, but the Emes was, they only needed it for a few months. Because Al Pi Cheshbon, they weren't going to be in the Midbar for very long. The Mishkan was only meant for the Midbar, right? They were going to go into Eretz Yisrael right away, not for the Chet of the Meraglim. They were going to go into Eretz Yisrael right away, and once they go into Eretz Yisrael, if not for the Chatoim, they would have built the regular Beis HaMikdash. So it comes out that all of these donations, with all of the gold and the precious stones, and all the gear was only meant for the mitzvah of Osli L'Migdash V'Shachanti B'Soichem that would last in the Midbar for a few months. Just take a look at the Chavivus HaMitzvah, and this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Havizor B'Mitzvah Kalak B'Chamur Sheinat Ha'yedeh Matnas Kohen Shel Mitzvah. She says, we have to learn from that. How much hard work, mamish tedious work went into the Mishkan. How much we have to be machshav our mitzvahs, and how much tedious amelus we have to put into our mitzvahs. Those Dr. Yankiv, he points out this nekuda. Vahanesiim heviu es avnei hashoyam es avnei hamiluim lo eifoid v'lachosh. The nesiim brought the avnei shoyam and the avnei miluim for the eifoid and the chosh. Targum Yonasim in Uziel says, it was the Anani HaKovid, they went to Pishon, and from over there they got these precious stones that were used for the Choshen and for the Eifoy, and they went and they deposited it in the Midbar, and the Nesim of Yisrael went out to the Midbar to get it, and they brought it to Litzayrach, the Mishkan. So I state in the Targum Yonasim in Uziel, you see clearly that the Nesim delivered it from the Midbar, I got to the Midbar, the Anani HaKavod. The Sfar Magdoshim say that the stones, the precious stones, were Me'uriv with the month that fell in the Midbar, and that's the way the Nesim found it. So Chari Avdan Sein Roshon Shadron and Sefer Leiv Sholem, he asks, so why does it say Vanisim Heviu? That makes it sound like they brought it from their own. By the Bnei Yisrael, it says that they brought their donations, they gave it of their own. So by the Nesim that didn't give it of their own, it shouldn't have said Vanisim Heviu. Should have said Vanisim Likdu, they picked it out. Oh, but the word Heviu is Mashma. They brought it from their own. So Shon Shadron says, the Gemara Masechet is Yuma. The fine hay says that the mon, it came down in different places. He says, for tzadikim, it came down mamish by their doorstep. For someone that was Beinoni, he had to go out and get it. For Rishon, they had to go far out to get it. So he says, let's picture what happened over here on this day. The Nesim, they were Mizatzel. They were not Zerizim in bringing their donation. And it turned out that their mon ended up all the way out in the Midbar. So they had to go all the way out into the Midbar to get their money. Could you imagine what that must have felt like? The Bizli Bizyonis, that every day the mon falls. That was, by the way, one of the reasons why the Yidden did not want the mon, because you had a mamish, an open report every day, a progress report on how they were doing. They could be tzaddikim one day and they did one Avera, and then who knows what. It was Bizyonis. So for the Nesim, it was Bizli Bizyonis. Mamish, they had to go out to the Midbar, and from there they brought. So it's up to Sholem. That's Mamish, you know, that's Mamish paying with their own blood for the Avnei Choshen and the Eifai. That's how the CMA be. They paid for it with their blood. That was talking to Reagan and Zaki. You understand why it's called Al Shemam and why the it's engraved in, you know, forever that it was the Nesim that brought it, because they had to go through the tremendous Mizyonis to bring it. It says in Parashas Pikudei, Kol HaZohav HaOsi L'Melacha B'Kol Melachas HaKadosh. All the Zohav that was used for the Melacha in all the Melachas HaKadosh. So Chaim HaKadosh says that the Torah is telling us over here a Dover Nifla. It says it's a Dover Yodua that if you work with gold, and you're making some sort of a model out of it, or really any metal that you're working with, and you make some sort of a tchotchke out of it, it's a davar yadua that you're going to end up, the final product is going to be less material than you started out with. You have to cut up the material, and there's little shards that fall by the wayside. You have to shape the material. So it's a davar yadua that it's impossible that the amount that you end up with at the end will be the same amount of material that you started out with the beginning, right? Sai in the preparation when you cut up the metal, and sai when you form it. You shear it down, you twist it. The Torah is telling us over here that a nace happened. V'chol hazov ha'osi l'malacha ha'yib v'chol malachas ha'kaydash. All of the gold that was originally found, look at Gila, it remained in the entire malacha of the Kodesh. Nothing, somehow or other, the final product was the exact weight of gold as they started out with. This was a nes min hashamayim. Vayar Moshe, it's called hamalacha. Moshe saw the entire malacha. Vihine osu saw kasher tziva Hashem. Kein osu. Like Hashem commanded, that's the way they did it. Moshe gave them a bracha. So, what's the double lashon over here? Vayar Moshe's kol hamalacha v'hinei osu oisa. Kashetziv Hashem kein osu. Why does it have to say osu oisa twice? V'hinei osu oisa kashetziv Hashem. Finished. What's the kein osu a second time? What's the double lashon over here? Shon Shadron says, I'm not reading the Kipchat. It's really a Yisoid from Kadmoinim. We find a similar thing in Yeshua, Kapitel Dalet, Pasuk Ches. It says that the Bnei Yisrael, they picked up 12 stones from amidst the Yarden. So state the lesson of the Pasuk is as follows, Kapitel Dalet, Pasuk Ches. Vayasu came Bnei Yisrael, Kashetziv Yeshua. Vayisu shtei asora avonim mitoicha yardein, kasha dibur Hashem el Yehoshua. So here also it's a double thing, like a double lashon. Vayasu came b'nei Yisrael kasha tziv Yehoshua. The pasuk sounds redundant. The Gemara says that they evaluated the stones of Yahushua, and every oven by itself was a weight of 40 saw. So that's an astounding amount, that every stone by itself weighed 40 saw. How is a child to handle such a masa? That the Torah says, "Vayikru shnei moser avonim," with which koyach? With the koyach of kashas hiva Hashem as Yahushua. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends on a shlichus and he tells you to do it, then nothing is impossible. This is the old vort that I've said a number of times, that Bnei Yisrael said, "Naaseh koydim nishma," and that's the side of the malachim. They didn't first hear, they said, "Naaseh." And the Gemara says, how can they say such a thing? You know, to say Nas, you don't know what it's doing. Terah says, that's the, how do the Malachim do anything? If Hashem makes them a shliach, the word Malach means a shliach. If Hashem makes them a shliach, Hashem gives the koyach for the shlichas. And the Malachim don't question. So the Bnei Yisrael chapt, the Memel, we also could say Nas of Nishma. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a tzivui, it's inherent in that tzivui is, and I'm giving you the koyach to do it. And nothing's going to hold you back. That's shot in the pasuk over here. That's the lashon of the pasuk. They did right. The lashon is vayikru shnei moser avonim, with which koyach? With the koyach of kashas hiva Hashem es Yahushua. Once it's commanded, nothing is impossible. And with that, the Shem Yishmuel says, you know, loy b'shamayim. It says about the Torah. And Rashi says, because if it would have been, we'd be mechuyev to take ladders and go up there and get it. How's Hashem to do that? What's Rashi talking about? The impossible. Teretz is, if Hashem tells us to learn Torah and to get the Torah, He'd give us the koyach to go up on ladders all the way up to Shammai. Nothing is impossible. So Mimele, that's the same shot over here. The Torah's telling us over here, V'inei osu is kol ha-malacha. How? With the koyach of kashetziva Hashem es Moshe. Because Hashem commanded them to do them, as if you think about it, the Ramban really points this out. There were tremendous craftsmen over here, the intricate work, the beautiful work, the Maisa Chayrish, the Maisa Chayshev. Where did they learn how to do this? They were Avodim and Mitzrayim. They were lowly Avodim and Mitzrayim. Where did they have the tremendous Kishron and the tremendous Kayach to be able to do this? The answer is, Kashat Siva Hashem is Moshe. Once Hashem commanded Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael to do it, the koyach came Eilof. He gives not only the shlichus, but the koyach to be able to fulfill the shlichus. And this is a tremendous lima to all of us. A lot of times we find things are difficult. A lot of times we find things are hard. If Hashem sends us on a shlichus, and a lot of times it's not only in things that it says beferish in the Torah. Yeah, Dain has his egg in a personal misyaynus. But he has his own personal hardships. It means Hashem is sending him a hardship and avodas Hashem. And if Hashem is sending him a hardship and avodas Hashem, he's memeil sending him on a shlichus, and memeil he's giving him the koyach to withstand those mishaynus. That's the lima that we could take from over here. This week is Parshas HaChodesh, Mevorchim HaChodesh, and we learn the first parsha that Klal Yisrael was given, the first mitzvah. Klal Yisrael was given as a nation, mitzvah b'chodesh as elochem. They were given mitzvahs earlier as yechidim. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of milah. Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of gid hanoshe. But as a nation, this is the first mitzvah we were given as a nation. And the Sfarim speak out, in every first, there's a special message that's given to all of us. Chodesh as elochem, as we say in Kiddush Levana. The Levana is a marshal to all of us. That it's a marshal for Klal Yisrael. That just like the Levana, it's mechadish itself every single month. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it totally disappears. And then we think it's not there anymore, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it comes again. It's mechadish itself. This has been the history of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden in the gullus we slip and totally, it looks like we're totally wiped out. And then the Levon is ateres teferes la musei boten. It's a covet for those born as Klal Yisrael, Shehem Asidim L'Hischadesh Kamoisa, that they're going to be Mechadesh themselves, just like the Levana's Mechadesh itself is going to look like they're totally disappeared and out of nowhere they reappear again. And that's a lesson to us. We're coming out to this period. It's the end of the winter. At the end of the winter, you feel blah, you know. And then all of a sudden comes the spring, Nisan, Chodesh Aviv, the Bria reawakens. And that's a siman to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts tremendous koiches in the Bria of reawakening, and that affects us. And we have a koich of Osiris as well to be Ma'ir Ar Avoida anew. I'd just like to mention an interesting story that I saw, which I wrote for next week's Yad Ted. I called the article, The Man from China. An interesting guest appeared by the Chofetz Chaim, a fellow from China, a kid from China. I guess he lived in China for business purposes. So he was in Europe on business. He wanted to visit the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim is from Sham Aleichem. He's from China. He was Tutzach in China, in China. So he tells them, you know, the kehillos are very small and they're spread out. There's not that many yidden. Melu sefelt rabbonim, and sefelt merei derech, and sefelt shoichdim. Chofetz Chaim says, yeah, I know it's a common problem. You have that in America, North America, South Africa, it's in Australia, it's all over. But then I wrote the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael. I gave him a copy of Nidchei Yisrael. Learn it and teach it to others. Was noch herzach in China? What else is new in China? The fellow didn't know what the Chofetz Chaim wanted. So he says, oh, we recently had a tragedy. There was a big, tremendous dam that burst. And it washed away whole towns in a valley. Thousands of people died. Hundreds of thousands are left without roofs over their head. It's mamash a terrible fields wiped away. There's no food. Oy, oy, Chofetz Chaim. Oy, oy, the midas adin. Oy, oy, the midas adin. Shrapla. So the man says, what's it got to do with us? You know, it's the Chinese. What's it got to do with us? So Chofetz Chaim told him, what would be if a man would set up a platform in the main street of Varsha with a lectern, and he would start talking in Yiddish? So who exactly would you say that speech is meant for? So the rabbi, the Yiddish. So I said, what do you mean? But Ruba, the people in Warsaw are Goyim. Yeah, but he's speaking the language of the Yidden, so obviously he means it's for Yidden. So he says, that's exactly my point. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing me this Adin. Who understands that language, if not the Yidden? Right? That message was meant for us. The Goyim don't understand such a language. That message was meant for us. Right? And Memele, Hashgacha had it that you came here to Poland, and you told me this Ma'aseh, and now we could spread the story and tell Yidden this Simon and Min HaShemayim. And we have to act upon it. We have to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula. And we have to better ourselves and do tshuva. These are messages that speak our language. So as we come to Nisan, and Nisan is a time of Geula, and Nisan Nigalu, and Nisan Asimli God. Chofetz Chaim said, if every day there's a 50-50 chance of Mashiach coming, in Nisan it's a rave chance that Mashiach is going to come. We don't scream about it. We don't get the message. See what's going on in the world. A war that a year ago, there were 300,000 more people alive. 300,000 people have died in this needless war for power and covet, where Putin mentioned nuclear war. A year ago, people were actually amassing his troops. Is he going to go in? Is he not going to go in? People did not take the signs. They didn't take the signs. The same amount of, like before Hitler. You know, he's not going to go in. Is he going to go? He's not going to take on England and France and the whole world. He went in. And we see what happened. And Putin went in. And we see what's going on. And he mentions nuclear war. Now he's only mentioning it. He doesn't really mean it. But as our Rosh and Marusha, that could be good in such churban. You can't tell what such a person does. Now China's getting involved. And the Iranians are getting involved. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael with terrorist attacks? What's going on in Eretz Yisrael, which is close to a civil war, chas v'shalom, it shouldn't happen, with the protests, and the protests are meant against Frumayid. And what's going on now with the banking industry, it's scary. there's so many signs that are being sent in the Shemayim. As we come to Chodesh Nisan, we have to take those signs seriously. As the Chofetz Chaim said, we have to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't take it anymore. Bring us the Gula Shleima, Meir V'Yameinu, Amen.